Welcome back to Pack Mentality, and today we're going to be chatting with Caitlin about her experience at Tiruwadapalooza in Miami. I had a wonderful time. It was a great trip, great competition. If you guys came to the SoCal one back in September, it was about three times that size, I would say. What would you say?
Oh, yeah, at least.
It was at least three times the size. Yes,
had more stages and venue.
Yeah, more stages, more venues. There's four stages, including the gauntlet, and then there was like
Vendor
a thousand
College.
Divisions. There's like so many divisions. There was seriously something going on each stage all day from like 8 a.m. to like almost 8 p.m.
Probably
every
a thousand day. Athletes.
Oh, easily. Yeah, the warm-up area was packed. So we're going to be talking with Caitlin today about her overall experience with Wadapalooza, and I'm sure she has plenty of tips for you, for those of you looking to compete this year in 2025. So let's dive right in, shall we?
Sure.
Let's just start from the beginning. I think that's the easiest part. So how far out in advance did you start preparing for Wadapalooza?
As soon as I signed up for it, I guess, and committed to the competition. Originally, I placed, I think, 75th, and they take the top 60 athletes. So I originally didn't think I qualified. But about 2 weeks later, I got an email invite, you know, because some people go team or they can't make the event itself. So, you know, it trickled down to me and I had that opportunity to go. So I signed up for it. And I think that was in November. Yeah.
Yeah, November. I think that's when you got the email.
Yep. Yep. And so since then, I mean, it was probably like 10 weeks of training until the event. And so we just kind of, you know, backtracked from the start date and then had been working for that long.
Okay. And tell us about how your volume and intensity for your training changed.
So I still follow class. I also did a lot of the build and burn as well. But in addition to that, I would just try to do movements from past Wadapalooza competitions. So I looked at all the old workouts and I saw, you know, a consistent pattern with the movements that they do. And I just really tried to work on those as best I could, because it's all a guessing game until they release the workouts.
Right.
So that lasted probably, you know, 6 weeks or so. And then they released one workout at a time. And every time they released a workout, I would try to practice it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember us when they would release the workouts, we'd go over it together. And then we would decide what the best way would be to approach it, how to pace it, unbroken, break it up, how to break it up. And also moving at a pace to where you can sustain, but you're also not, you know, resting too much. You know, you're not overpacing it. I think that's one of the biggest things when you compete is that, especially in that first event, is so crucial that you don't want to overpace it because something be too conservative, because then nothing's worse, especially in a competition setting, of finishing an event and being like, oh man, I really dogged that one too much. I could have gone way harder.
Yeah, I did not have that problem at any of my events. I usually go out too hot. But for the workouts, I probably did each one a total of three times to practice them leading up to the competition itself. So I would practice it and then I would change a little bit and do it again a couple days later. And then I would try it again, you know, just a little bit different, and see which one was best. And then if my times would drastically change, and they usually wouldn't, I almost got the same time every single time.
Yeah, it's like your fitness is preset.
Yeah, like I wasn't really going to get that much fitter in that time frame. So it was a pretty fast turnaround from September to January. And I believe that's why they kind of extended it. So if you guys haven't saw that already, but they moved it to March. I think it's like March 10th through the 12th. Instead of January. So that gives it 6 months in between the SoCal one and 2026 Miami.
Yeah.
Instead. Because again, the turnaround time was a matter of like 4 months.
Yeah.
So it wasn't
it was
you were going to
condense.
Yeah. You weren't going to get, you know, that much fitter in that time frame.
Yeah. What were your biggest weaknesses going into this?
Going into the competition, my weakness is definitely strength, number one, and number two, gymnastics. So a lot of CrossFit in that. I'm pretty good at grinding out a workout. I have a decent engine. I think running is one of my weaknesses too. I really don't like running. So I've recently started working on it more and have gotten better, but still needs a lot of work. And yeah, so strength-wise, I knew every Wadapalooza, they do a clean complex. It's like every single year. They've never, I think maybe once they did a snatch, but it's pretty much been a hang clean for like 10 years. And so that's why we practice a lot of cleans on Saturdays in class. And that way I could practice with class and have that kind of setting, competitive setting to push myself. And then the gymnastics portion, you know, I practice as much as I could. I think I got a lot better at my chest to bar pull-ups. And then my biggest weaknesses are handstand push-ups and ring muscle-ups, really.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how did you attack them? Like, did you walk us kind of through on how you kind of chipped away at getting these better and is with such a narrow time constraint?
I just did them a lot. I did, as soon as I saw they released ring muscle-ups in the first workout, we actually did it. Did I do it on the first day? Yeah, I did it on the first day. It was the second workout on the first day, but they released this workout first. And as soon as I saw ring muscle-ups, I think I practiced ring muscle-ups almost every single day for 2 weeks. Maybe I took one day off just to like give my arms a slight break, but I practice as much as possible. Again, you're not going to get that much fitter. What I got out of it was that I got more comfortable doing muscle-ups under fatigue. So I knew at least I'd be able to do some in the workout. I wasn't expecting myself to really like do a bunch unbroken. Competition setting, everything changes when you're live and in the action. But just practicing every day alone, I got really comfortable and confident that I could at least do it.
Yeah.
I never thought like, oh, I can't even do one. Like I knew at least I could do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, short time frame, I didn't get, you know, super fit, but I definitely got more confident.
Awesome. And did you do any like competition simulations leading up to it? Like in terms of, you know, trying to simulate as close to what it would be like being out there?
Not really. I didn't really get that opportunity to train like with a lot of people competitively. I think we did one power hour, that kind of simulated it. I think that fell within the time frame. But otherwise, no, I just kind of did most of it either in class setting or just by myself. And by yourself is very, very difficult to stimulate the same, you know, feeling and push that you're going to have when you're live. But you just do the best you can.
Yeah, no, 100%. Let's talk game day now. So, you step into the arena, you know, it's been a while since you haven't competed in front of a crowd that big before.
No.
Tell us, you know, what's running through your head when you first walked out there for the first event?
For the first event, well, I was very nervous. The first event I did in SoCal, I didn't do very well. I kind of, tanked a little bit and was disappointed. So this first workout, I really just didn't want to choke. Mm-hmm. And that was like my biggest concern. Leading up to that, warm-up wise, man, I think I warmed up for like an hour because you weren't there. And the second day, Matt was able to get a...
Because I didn't have a pass.
Yeah, Matt was able to snag a pass, a coach's pass to get into the back warm-up area.
I couldn't help you warm up.
Yeah, so day one, I warmed up by myself and I warmed up a lot. Probably again, like an hour before the first workout. It's very nerve wracking. You wait at least 15 minutes before you actually do the workout. So you warm up and then they corral you, you know, with your heat and they brief you on like what to expect when you go out there, how the format looks, where the equipment is, which way to face. You know, you have to face a certain way to do toes to bar or the bench press or whatever. And so they brief you. And then at that point, it's been 15 minutes since you warmed up and then you go out there and you do the workout. So very nervous. But luckily I love bench press and it was, a good workout for me. And I'm happy with the fact that I could do 25 chest to bar pull-ups unbroken, you know, on a different rig, you know, in front of a crowd, kind of not my, you know, confidence spot, but at least I was able to do that. So it was definitely a win for the first workout.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the main reason why I have people warm up that early before their first event is first off, it gets kind of the pregame jitters out. Also, you want to make sure that you have enough equipment because at most competitions, even at one as big as Wodapalooza, the equipment area can be very crowded very quickly.
Oh my God.
So you're going to end up waiting for stuff or sharing. And so you need enough time to get enough reps in. And also you need to prep your aerobic system because you've been coming off, you know, a night's sleep and, you know, there's not a ton of oxygen in the blood yet. So you're trying to simulate oxygen to get into the blood. So that way you have it for the rest of the day as well.
Yeah. I mean, quickly, let's talk about warm up really quick. Do you remember that morning? So I competed at 12 for the first workout. Matt and I went to the gym in our hotel and I biked for 30 minutes at about 8 or 9 a.m., I think. So we did like a 30-minute bike and then we stretched for about 30 minutes. So that was an hour. Then we rested and then we got to the warm-up area at about 10:30, 10:45.
Yeah.
And I warmed up for an hour there as well before they corralled us at about 11:30, 11:45 before we do the 12 o'clock workout. We've already done a slight workout, I guess, in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then again before the workout and then the workout itself.
Yeah.
So lots of warming up. And like Matt said, the reason why I warmed up at the gym in the hotel was because the warm-up area for Wodapalooza, it was good, but there were way too many people.
Yeah, it was a lot of people.
It was very crowded. The teams were warming up at the same time as the individuals, as the same time as the masters. And so equipment was extremely limited. The worst one was day three when we had to do the echo bike run box step overs. We had one echo bike and we had 40 people in our heat. All the girls went at the same time.
Yeah, so I remember seeing a huge line.
Yeah, so we all lined up, all the girls, 40 of us, to use the echo bike. And we all did like 5 or 10 cals. And then that was it. That was the only echo biking you were going to do before the workout.
Yeah.
Couple boxes, couple dumbbells, one rig for everybody to work off of. And then, barbells scattered around, trying to just share weights as best you could. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely not like when you're in your home gym and you're warming up. It is not like that. It is kind of a big clusterfuck and everybody's just moving around crazy and you're just trying to do the best you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about kind of like the nerves, you know, because going out there, obviously the first event and before any event, you're obviously going to be a little nervous. So how did you deal with that?
For me personally, I just really try to take a lot of deep breaths. That really like helps me calm down because I really start to kind of like think a lot and then I can feel my heart rate racing. And so to calm down, I just try to breathe a lot. We don't do much talking amongst competitors. I mean, we all kind of just stand around and, you know, we socialize a little bit, but really everyone's game face on and there's really no talking right before the workout. So you're just kind of in your own head and just a lot of self-talk, a lot of positive self-talk, trying to like remember the things that I really wanted to work on in this workout. And I have a couple like taglines that I'll tell myself before I do certain movements, just cues, I guess, to kind of like focus on. And then that's kind of all I think about. Second workout, definitely way more nerve-wracking because it had the ring muscle-ups in it. You know, not my forte. So, and I'm already tired at this point because we had worked out in the morning, cool down, re-warm up again, and then now we're doing this workout. And on top of all of that, it was freezing.
Yeah, it was really cold
at that point because it was 5:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah,
the clouds came in. It was windy.
It was windy.
The rings in the warm-up area were flying all over the place. They were extremely high. Even myself, I'm pretty tall. I needed a riser in order to jump up to the warm-up area rings. But then come the event, when we got in there, I didn't need one.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just kind of like, it was just different when you jumped up there on the arena floor. And again, you're like post wall balls and thrusters and snatches. And then you're trying to do, for me, one of my hardest movements. So really just kind of disappointed in workout number two. But I expected that. Every time I tested it, I got the exact same score. And I pretty much got that exact same score when I went out there. So not really a loss, but not also a win.
Yeah. I think we expected to do a little bit better just because of the adrenaline being out there. But there was a lot of there's a lot of factors and variables that go into competing that is a lot different than when you're at your home gym. At your home gym, you're comfortable. You know the equipment. You know
your ring.
Yeah, your rings. You know what rings you like. You like the, you can start whenever you want. Like you're on someone else's time when you're at the comp. So if you're not warmed up, doesn't matter. You're going out there.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's so important to get there early. And not to mention, there's always elements out there that you're just not ready for. Like, the heat before you, I was watching the Masters and their rings were all over the place. Like
yeah.
I saw people, you know, jump to the rings and fall off because they were trying to time it. They were looking up and they tried to time it and they missed one ring, grabbed the other and they fell. And I was like, oh, I really hope this is not this windy because Caitlin's heat is up next. And luckily it died down right before your heat. But everyone else in the heat was dealing with the same thing.
Right.
So,
yeah. So it was good. And at that point, we went home. Well, we went back to the hotel. We quickly ate. I actually lost my grips at that point, dropped them at some point after the ring muscle up workout while I was walking back to the athlete area. And then Matt and I had to buy grips on the spot for the next day because there was toes to bar.
Yeah, you're lucky that it was only toes to bar.
Yeah, I know. If it was anything else, I would have been pretty screwed. Everybody knows breaking in new grips is not fun. And when you don't have your stuff, it's kind of like mentally just kind of shocks you a little bit. So had to buy some new ones. They weren't bad. They did the job.
Yeah.
And, you know, got through that and then got to the second day.
Yeah. Well, kind of, you know, kind of going more broad here, but what event overall were you the most excited for?
The most excited for probably the dumbbell bench. I love bench press and I know I'm pretty good at that. So, and it was my best workout. You know, even though I did tie with 10 other people, I thought I did pretty good in that one in the sense that I finished it, you know, before the time cap. It was just a matter of moving the blocks at that point.
Yeah.
When I tested it, you know, I did finish it, but we didn't have to move the equipment at
yeah, it was a lot of
in the sand. So, you know, I did exactly as I expected on that one too, and was really happy with that event. I guess I was also kind of excited for the step up workout just because I am kind of decent at that one. I love a good grinding workout where it just comes down to, you know, mental capacity of can you keep pushing. So love that. Didn't mind running in the sand. You know, we did it in SoCal. So I knew what to expect and I'm happy that I kept moving the entire time and did not stop.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that was really fun watching that workout. I really enjoyed watching the first event. I thought you executed very well on that, just like how, you know, you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I wasn't ready for, I mean, in my opinion, I think they should have just started with the blocks down there and the dumbbells down there, but then that was it. Rather than having to move it back again, I thought that was the only thing that I would have changed on that event because the problem was there was no tiebreaker.
That was
why there was 10 ties for eighth, which it didn't really matter in the end of the day, but it would have been nice to have some sort of a tiebreaker.
Yeah. Or just, you know, if I did do the best out of the 10 of them, I would have liked the points to reflect that because we all got the same points for being eighth.
Or like you wouldn't like to know how you stacked up over, you know, over all that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the most shocking workout for myself was the clean complex. I am not the strongest person. It's taken me a long time to get back to, you know, original strength before having kids. So, and I've honestly never really lifted in front of a crowd before. I've never done like a Olympic lifting meet or anything like that. So definitely something new. And I was very happy with my execution under pressure, especially with all the other girls around me lifting so much more weight. You know, you can easily get in your head and think like, man, I'm can't even compete with this and whatnot. So, and it really comes down to like execution. You only have one shot every 30 seconds. You know, you can only do it one time. I know some people might have squeezed out another one if they missed it. I personally would not have been able to squeeze out another rep if I missed it. So I knew I had one opportunity and really happy with what I was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Going into it, I only actually hit 205 maybe once or twice in practice in our gym. And I mean, that was extremely hard. I could easily do 185, 195. I knew I would get those. It was like a matter of, will I get over 200? And so I'm happy with executing that when I've only done it actually twice.
Yeah, no, those were the numbers we picked.
Yeah.
We're in the warm-up area. And then you hit 185 in the warm-up area. So we knew that you were going to go for 205 as your final. And you were going to open at 185 just to get like a confident number on the board.
Yeah.
And then go from there. And I'm really glad that it worked out just like how we planned. It's always nice when you plan something and it works out exactly how you plan it.
Yeah. Actually, that was the best warm-up too, because we had a lot of time to work with the barbell. You know, the girls in my heat, we worked really well together, adding weight to the bar, deloading the bar, and, you know, working back and forth. It was also really nice for that workout. So we warmed up regularly. They corralled us for about 10 minutes. We walked over to the stage and they had two bars there for you to do again.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally 3 minutes before you actually walk out onto the platform, you could actually hit your opening weight one more time in the back to just kind of, you know, get that real last jitter out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit nerve-wracking because the girls were adding weight very quickly. And, you know, you had to get in there and be aggressive. If, like, if they went over your weight, well, you're not going to get on the bar.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had to kind of, like, plan really quickly, hit the lift, and then we were out there doing it. That was really fun.
Yeah, I saw that back there and I was like, oh, thank God. Yeah, because I can't imagine how dangerous that would be to corral you and have you wait for 10 minutes and then go out there and you're like, hey, all right, let's load up the weight. Let's load up the bar. Like a 10-minute break is a long time.
Yeah.
When it comes to, especially something as technical as an Olympic lift.
Yeah.
So what was the toughest moment of the competition?
Easily the last workout.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just really disappointing. You know, I really practiced that workout quite a bit and I'm really not that terrible at handstand walks, but it just crushed me. Mm. Like, and it was almost funny. Like, I started laughing at the wall-facing handstand push-up when I finally got there after, like, 10 minutes. I just was laughing because I was too tired at that point. I was just beat. It was the last workout of six and end of the day. I thought I warmed up pretty well. We didn't have a lot of space to handstand walk. I mean, we were doing, like, 5 feet, you know, at a time. And when they briefed us, I guess I just, maybe I missed it or maybe he didn't say it or whatnot, but it was supposed to be unbroken lengths. And, you know, I understood it as the lunges you were able to break, you know, if you stopped, you know, mid rep or whatever, you just had to go back to the previous line. And so I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. Must be the same for handstand walk. And then it wasn't. And that just really threw me off. And I mean, I don't know how many times I got down to like the last 5 feet and then just fell. And like couldn't do it. And it was just really, I don't know, really heartbreaking, I guess. So yeah, that was pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
But I mean, now I know you just have to practice a lot more at handstand walks.
Yeah. I think it would have been fine if we would have known that leading up to it to really warm that up a little bit more because we didn't really warm up the handstand walks at all.
No, like I said, we were doing like 5 feet.
Yeah, there was really nowhere to
do it.
It was so packed that.
Yeah. We'd dumbbell.
I mean, best case scenario, we would have warmed up maybe outside of the warm up area. Or like in the sand, but yeah, I knew that the elites had to do 45 feet unbroken segments.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the standards were going to be for, and it's a good thing I didn't say anything because if I told you it was 45 feet, then I mean,
yeah, and
it would have been helpful.
It ended up being 30 feet unbroken that we had to do. And again, I just, maybe I missed that and I just didn't know, but usually I can do 30 feet and I do it in our gym all the time. Mm-hmm. But I truly believe just being out on a competition floor, believe me, it was really fun doing handstand walks on a competition floor. I felt really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also felt really dumb because everybody else was doing them easily and I kept falling.
Yeah.
So at one point I just mentally shut down, I think, and was just like, well, let's just see how far I get.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to finish that length just to like kind of redeem myself. So I'm happy I made it through that. But like I said, I was smoked.
Yeah, you were tired.
I was tired at the
point. I mean, once you did the second 30-foot segment, the third 30-foot segment looked really easy. Oh, like, oh, she's warmed up.
Yeah, exactly. It was like I wasn't warmed up, but
yeah, it was just a warm up. In my opinion, it was just because we didn't warm it up enough, and that's just something we need to know before going in and just make the assumption that is there, you are gonna have to do larger unbroken segments anyways.
Yes.
Like now we know it's default thinking. Like, okay, let's just assume that there's handstand walks. You're gonna have to do X amount unbroken.
Yes.
And, and make it longer than what you think, just so that way you're because if it's shorter, then great.
Right.
You know, just it is better to be over prepared than under prepared, and that's an oversight on my part as well. Let's talk if last one about events. If you could redo one event, what would that be and why?
Okay, other than the handstand one, because we've already talked about that.
Yeah.
I would love to redo that workout. However, the second one that I would like to redeem myself on was honestly the row and the toes to bar one. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't believe I tested that workout probably 3 times as well. And I always did it unbroken. I was really shocked that I had to break up the toes to bar on that workout. I don't know why I did. I had to drop. I don't know. I could blame the grips or whatnot, but man, I was pretty shocked in myself that I had to break that one up. Thought I did pretty good on the sled drag, having done it before. So I didn't stop, but man, other girls just smoked me. And, you know, Matt pointed out that like, I am more of like a grindy type of athlete. My power output is just not that great compared to others. So definitely something, you know, moving forward that I have to work on is power. and producing more power for a little bit longer lengths too. You know, I think we get really comfortable in certain rep schemes, 12, 15, 20, whatever. But when you start competing, you have to have more power and more drive to outlast the other people next to you.
Yeah, exactly. It's one thing to have a base, but then you have to have
a couple gears.
You have to be able to turn it up.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, other girls, man, they were rowing way faster than I was, producing more power on that. And then obviously on the sled drag too, so.
Yeah, and the only way to get better at that is more sprints.
Yes.
I mean, you can't just
intervals,
you can't grind your way to being faster at rowing.
No, yeah.
And yeah, I think part of it too was the fueling. I think you just looked a little tired out there, honestly.
That workout was the one workout that I ate a meal before the workout. That was definite mess up on my part. So if we're going to talk about nutrition a little bit, what I ate the entire weekend other than this one meal was basically liquids, smoothies, and a lot of carbs. And by carbs, I mean bread, like a lot of rice and a lot of bread, and then fruits, smoothies, like I said, and that's really it.
Yeah.
So the one meal I messed up on, everybody, was I woke up really hungry, second day. And again, we didn't work out till 12. So we ate breakfast at like 7:30, 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And I had steak and eggs.
It was a little too heavy.
Yeah. I had steak and eggs. Tasted great. Everything went down smooth. It was just, I felt a little nauseous on that workout.
Yeah. You know? I think when you're nervous also, like your digestion wasn't just that, it just wasn't great anyway. So it probably just stuck with you throughout the morning.
Yeah. So after that, eating that and then having that workout kind of be a disappointment, I was like, okay, like not eating foods anymore. So we had, like I had pizza, we had Mediterranean, and from the Mediterranean, I ate all the rice, I ate all the bread,
nice.
I ate like whatever was left. And then I think that's really all I had other than, like I said, smoothies.
Yeah. The pizza was a great choice, by the way. Yeah. But the smoothies were great because you needed the sugar.
I needed the sugar. I had like a carb, electrolyte drinks every day. Lots of electrolytes, definitely to replenish. On day two and three, it did get warmer. And so, definitely more sunny. We were losing, you know, obviously more water and whatnot. So lots of Gatorade tablets. That was pretty much all I ate all weekend.
Yeah.
What changed was when I came back from competition, and we came back on a Monday. From Monday night to Friday, actually, no, all the way till Saturday, I would say, because I remember what I ate Friday. It's Mediterranean again.
Yeah.
I had so much food. I cannot tell you how much food I ate. I was eating everything under the sun and, you know, still moving around. I coached a lot, did some light cardio workouts in the sun just to kind of like, you know, stay focused, you know, on my fitness. And yeah, just ate a lot of solid foods for the next 5 days.
Yeah. I mean, so one thing, if you haven't competed before, is that like when you're nervous, it's harder to, you just feel like, you know, a full meal, you just feel so heavy.
Yep.
And so you want fast digesting things. So that's why we went and opted for the powders, the gels, the smoothies, because they're sweet, they're easy to get down, you get everything, especially because you want easy on your gut too, because you don't want a ton of blood flow going to your gut even when you're, you know, even after the event.
Yeah.
So it's hard to eat enough, and so when you're not eating it, it's hard to get enough calories in throughout the day, especially with how much you're expending and how intense the workouts are.
Yes.
So you do go into a major deficit, and then so that's why post competition, that's why everyone gets so hungry, especially after a 3-day competition itself. I mean, two events a day for 3 days.
Yeah, every day my Garmin said I burned, you know, 3,000 calories at least.
Mm-hmm. And that's without any other extra activity, really.
Yeah, but like I said, we warm up for an hour, you know, before every workout. So essentially, you're kind of working out for maybe like 3 hours on the day. Matt and I would walk from our hotel to the venue pretty consistently. We'd probably walk like 3 times a day at least back and forth.
Which was nice though, because it kept you moving.
Yep. It kept moving. So we got a lot of steps in. My minimum on my Garmin is 15,000 steps. I'd hit it every day. So definitely was not eating enough calories in that competition. And that's why I made up for it, like Matt said, afterwards.
Yeah. And then we did our best that in between events, we would actually go back and just lay down on the bed and just relax. And
yeah, compared to our normal day, it was actually very slow.
Yeah, it was weird. But it was also very nice.
Yes.
It was very nice not to...
We actually slept in for the first time in like, I don't even know, 7 years without having kids.
I really don't know that.
Every day woke up without an alarm, which I cannot tell you the last time I didn't have to set an alarm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also not wake up and immediately have to start serving people.
No, like by people, he means our kids.
The kids, or immediately get up and go straight to the gym and start a client at like 6 a.m. or something. So, I mean, I felt great because I just rest too much. I mean, I worked out every day too. I worked out in the hotel gym, which was nice. But my main role was just to make sure I was supporting and make sure that everyone could see on the live stream. So, what other approach to recovery did you take in between events as well? Did you ice bath, mobility, massage? I mean, I know what you did, but we're talking to everybody else.
For the most part, I just did the Theragun, stretched on my own, foam rolled. Luckily, there was a foam roller at our hotel.
Oh, thank God.
So we got to use that. I did not get in the ice bath because I don't like sharing water with people I don't know.
Angel, that was just kind of weird.
The water was extremely dirty. If you looked at that ice bath, you'd be like, ew. I mean, I know it was probably sand, but like, we're talking about thousands of athletes at this event. You know, the potential of just bacteria.
I know.
Too high. So I could not get in that. And I didn't really need to use the recovery thing that they had athletes access to. I didn't really feel like I needed any of that.
Yeah.
But I was extremely sore, like instantly right after the workout, but not so much the next day, but like instant quad pain, like with those workouts right after.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially after the two rounds too many.
Oh yeah.
That was a long workout. Yeah. That was a long workout. Now that we kind of had some time to reflect on everything, you know, let's talk takeaways. So, how do you feel about your overall performance?
Really good. My overall goal was to not be last, and I was successful. I got 30th out of 40 athletes. And I would love to have done better, but overall pretty happy. And my performance was, you know, as expected under the circumstances. So I wish I had done better, but I think I did as best as I could. I definitely tried as hard as I could every workout. I never felt, like you said earlier, I could have pushed harder. I mean, either I had it or I didn't at that point.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall happy, especially since I didn't originally qualify. My goal next Wadapalooza would be to qualify officially and not have to, you know, wait down the list basically and actually get in there early on. And that's kind of all I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And then next year.
Oh, fantastic. And what was the biggest lesson you learned from the competition?
I definitely need to work on gymnastics. And specifically, I think I just overall need to get stronger. I was telling you this before. Doing the movements, the complicated movements, the harder movements, while you're under fatigue, breathing hard is extremely difficult. And what would be nice is obviously if you get fitter, but also it would be easier if you were stronger, right? The movement itself would be easier. So I think overall, I need to work on my strength, upper body for sure. I think this competition was very upper body dominant. And we talked about that going in. There wasn't a heavy squat. I mean, other than the clean, but that was just a lift. You know, there was no barbell movement in this competition that required like a deadlift or anything like that. It was just all upper body. If you think about it, chest bar pull up, bench press, muscle ups. What else did we do? Handstand push up, handstand walk.
Handstand push up.
The dumbbell snap.
There was a lot of upper body. Yeah.
Yeah. It was all upper body. And
nothing else. Dumbbell lunges.
So you're kind of at the mercy of the competition itself. You have to remember that going into a competition, you don't know what the workouts are going to be. And, you know, it could be skewed one-sided. Like, you know, it could just be, this is a very barbell dominant workout. So anybody who's good at barbell stuff is going to excel. Mm. Oh, this is a very cardio type of competition. So, you know, that's going to help you out. So it's good to be well-rounded. However, I think this specifically for this one, I needed more upper body strength.
Right, right. I agree with that. And I mean, there's always things we can improve. And there's always things that we're constantly working on. And we knew that muscle-ups were going to be tough regardless of, you know, how much we train them. So, and we just use that as a reference point. We just keep moving forward and just kind of confirms what we already knew. So,
yeah. I mean, my goal this year already was to do 30 ring muscle-ups in under 5 minutes. That's been a goal of mine for a while. So it's just, like you said, confirms that I do have the right goals in mind. I just now need to work on them and try to execute.
Yeah, 100%. And if you could change anything about prep, what would it be?
Other than the one meal that I ate that I shouldn't have, probably that's about it for as far as prepping before the competition. I feel like I did everything I possibly could. You know, I still coach full time. I still have to be a mom as well. So I dedicated as much time as I could to training within the realms that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I just gave it my best.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And, you know, what's next for you? What's another comp coming soon, or what will you be focusing on in training?
Just prepping for, the Open is next. So the gym itself, Red Wolf, is getting ready for the Open. So I guess that's kind of the next step. But otherwise, looking forward to SoCal Wodapalooza. Hopefully they announce dates for that soon. And then obviously next year, Miami Wodapalooza is in March, and hopefully can really prep for that one as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, fantastic. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
No. If you're into CrossFit competitions, or if you're looking to do a competition, you know, Matt and I have good experience under our belts, and we'd love to help you do well in your next endeavor. So if you ever have any questions about that, please feel free to reach out to us and let us help you and guide you and plan a successful competition for yourself.
Oh yeah, nailed it. Thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review so we know to make more content just like this. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit and DM your content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, good luck, have fun, and nailed it.